And as we continue, as we start today, we're going to be continuing the series we started last week. And it's starting 2018 with Christ, a new year, a new you. And so last week we looked at taking a look at the physical aspect, how God created us as an entire being, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and how oftentimes we've cherry-picked and we've pulled a few of them out, and we've only focused in general on spiritual in the church, right? And so there's times where as we have focused on those things, we have missed part of what God has called us to. And I think as we look at this, we start to understand more and more what it means to be family. One of the things that as a family, I'm standing behind this beautiful flower arrangement, one of the things that we do as a family is we support each other. And a physical, mental, emotional, and a spiritual being. Last week, I mentioned just as the service was starting that Marilyn Farrow had a minor stroke. We found out during the service it was upgraded to a major stroke, and then sadly she passed away Sunday night. And so this is in honor of Marilyn. This was from her memorial on Thursday. And I had to say, I talked with the family. And as we got together as a family of God and we're looking at honoring and celebrating Marilyn, it was very easy in one sense because of the life that she had lived. And so it's not all about me, but please live your life in such a way that you make my job easier. Right? And she made my job so easy. And so we were able to just honor and celebrate and have a wonderful time remembering her as part of our family. And as we continue today looking at being the complete unit that God has called us to be, the family and the individual he has called us to be, today we're going to look at something a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit different in a moment here because what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So if you have your Bibles, this is our anchor scripture for today. What we're working out of is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And then I'm going to invite a couple of guests up in a moment who are going to share with me on the platform this morning. So it says, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So Father, today as we move ahead and look at the mind, the area of the mind, and dealing with some of the things that come up with the mind, and Father, being the people you call us to be, God, we looked at the physical last week and how we are to use our bodies to glorify you and to be fruitful. And so today as we look at the mind, Father, help us to have our minds renewed and transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of the things that is often expected of pastors is that they are counselors. Many people who take a master, who are pastors have taken a master's of divinity, and that has a counseling aspect to it. And so they can legally call themselves counselors. I did not take a master's of divinity. Kevin Kirk from Tyndale can probably attest to the fact they couldn't wait till I left, and they wouldn't let me back in. So I don't have a master's of divinity. I am not a counselor. And today as we speak to the issue of mental health within the church, January 31st is Bell Let's Talk, raising the whole issue in society about mental health. And so we're going to raise it today. And so I thought, well, I could stand up here and I could talk about it, or I could invite some friends up who are going to be a part of our mental health journey. And so, of course, we all know and love Shannon, who's our faith health nurse, our community health nurse here at the church. And Shannon has worked in a bunch of different facets of health. She's been cardiac care, she's worked ICU, but the one that she often went back to and kept enjoyed the most, I think, from our talks, is she worked in mental health. She worked at Homewood for a number of years, and she's here on staff. She's walked a number of people through issues of grieving and of loss. She's been very helpful, an incredible resource to our church family. She has just lost her mother-in-law, so today she won't be joining us on the platform. We love her, and we're so grateful that she is here, but today she's having a bit of a break. So to part of the other two people that we're going to invite are friends who I'm going to call up right now. So this is Andrea and Jessica. Andrea Grenwald, their qualifications are coming up. Andrea Grenwald, certified marriage and family therapist. She's a registered psychotherapist, and she's the founder of Five Star Relationships, which works here in Guelph. She is a tender of Lakeside Church. She is a Christian who is a counselor, and we're very thankful because we're able to refer to her, and she is able to help us with a lot of the load of helping people with a counseling load. And then this is Jessica Vanderweer. Jessica Vanderweer works for Family Counseling and Support Services, where she is a behavioral consultant. I think the elders are bringing her in to talk to me. She is studying to become a registered psychotherapist. And interestingly enough, she is doing clinical hours. And so she's going to be starting doing some of those clinical hours here in April. She's just on mat leave. She has a beautiful little girl who kept her up all last night. So she's going to be doing some of her clinical hours here. And so I thought, rather than just me standing up here talking about mental health, let's get some people here who are professionals, and let's spend some time. I'm going to ask them some questions, and we're going to look at the whole issue of mental health from a Christian perspective. So thank you for joining us today. Can you help make me welcome this morning?
Thank you. Thanks.
So we can either one or both, or you can take turns with this. So one of the first questions I have is simply this: how prevalent are mental health issues in society today, and specifically in society in general, and specifically within the church?
Sure. So thank you, everyone, for having us here today. I know you guys didn't all get a vote, but thanks for having us anyway. I felt right at home when the verse from Revelation came up, because that's actually how I came to Christ, from Revelation 1, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Back in the day when we had flannel graph boards. So anyone who knows, yes. Don't raise your hand if you know what that is. That's too embarrassing. But I felt right at home. So talking about mental health, the statistics are that 1 in 5 in our society experience mental health issues. And that can be anything from depression, anxiety, relationship issues, personality disorders, or other kinds of mental health issues. So it's 1 in 5. And the statistic tells us that it can affect us directly. You think about 1 in 5, and you just think about your row here in church, that's quite a few people. So whether it affects us directly, where we experience it ourselves, or someone in our family, or someone that we know closely, we're almost certainly going to be interacting with someone who has a mental health issue. And the statistics are no different in the community than in the church. And sometimes when I share that statistic, Christians are a little bit surprised. But if you think about it, it really makes sense, because we're no different when we become Christians, or we enter into a relationship with God through Christ. We don't suddenly change who we are in terms of our, as Josh was saying, you guys talked about last week, our physical bodies. We still have the same challenges. We still live in a society that's broken. And the statistic is no different in the church. But I think we're going to talk about how we can deal with it differently.
Mm-hmm. Right. So when we talk about mental health issues, a lot of people, as Andrew said, a lot of times people are surprised. And so I guess for someone who has, I've been in the church a long time, and I've been in a position of leadership as a pastor for a long time, and I've talked with a lot of people who do have mental health issues, and so I'm not surprised by it anymore. But a lot of times when we mention mental health in the church, as you said, Andrew, people are very surprised. Why are we not more aware of mental health issues in society and in the church?
I can take this one.
Oh, by the way, Jessica goes to Lakeside downtown. So we have two Christian counselors here. And they both have, I forgot to mention, they both have a list of things they can deal with longer than my arm. So, like, they've got a lot. It would have been 3 or 4 slides if we put all their qualifications up there. So we're talking to people who are very good at what they do.
You're really talking us up now.
There you go.
To live up to that. So why are we not more aware of mental health issues?
Why are we not more aware?
So some of the common themes that I see from people that I've worked with mental health issues are feelings of shame and feelings of guilt surrounding their mental health issues. Specifically, I knew I was coming here today, so I've been talking to some people who grew up in the church and who struggle with mental illness. And one person I was talking to, she said when she first started feeling feelings of depression, maybe 10 years ago, she started to reach out to a few people in the church, and the people that she reached out to said, well, why don't you just come out with us? Why don't you... you know, we'll pray for you, you can reflect in the scripture. And so she tried to do that, but she was having even a hard time getting out of bed. She felt so fatigued, she was really struggling, and people were really trying to love on her and encourage her, but it only made her feel more broken, because she was trying to do the things that they were encouraging her to do, but she couldn't, and she couldn't fix herself. So she said, instead of it being helpful, she started feeling more feelings of shame and guilt and just stopped talking about it, and ended up struggling with depression for about 7 years until someone finally encouraged her to go to her doctor and to talk to someone. So I think this is just one story, but I don't think it's necessarily unique. And I think that's a lot of the times what happens, and we feel like we have to fix ourselves and maybe become nervous or feel afraid to share our stories.
So there's like the stigma that is attached to it.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, I was sliding with, this is probably about 10 years ago, I was sliding, going downhill, tobogganing. We call it sliding up north, because if you're sledding, you're on a snowmobile. Anyways, I was sliding with my son Josiah, and I was on this stand-up slide, and it had a handle, and I don't know what I was thinking, and I fell, and I landed, and I felt my thumb break, and I got up, and I took my hand off, the glove off, and I put my hand in the snow, and I was like, oh, this was a bad idea, and I wasn't sure it was broken. I thought it was broken, but I wasn't sure, so we went skating afterwards, and every time I took a step, it was throb, throb, throb. And then we were walking around Walmart doing some shopping, and I was trying to like just play with it, and also went, and I was like, okay, now it's really broken. And my wife looked at me and she says, you don't look so good. I said, yeah, I'm going to go to the hospital. And when they took the x-ray, I said to the x-ray technician, I said, is it broken? She says, well, I'm legally not allowed to tell you that, but I can tell you, go wait in the waiting room, put your hand up, and don't move it. I broke my hand, I broke my thumb, I had to go for help. I will tell you now, as a pastor, there are times where I have been broken. As a leader in the church, I have been broken, and I have had to go for help. I have gone and I've seen counselors for issues revolving around fear, around feelings that I'm going to let people down. I've had to walk through issues with a counselor and mental health issues. I remember being at All Nations Church when I first got there. At the church I worked at previously, I had been laid off. I'd worked there for about a year and a half, and the church ran out of money, and I got laid off. And after I worked at All Nations for 6 months, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop, the other shoe to fall. I kept waiting to get fired, to be laid off. And I had to go, and we had a counselor on staff, and it took a few sessions, and I walked through some of these sessions with her where she actually helped me come to a point where it's like, hey, I don't have to always be afraid. If that helps you, I will tell you that I have been to see a counselor on many occasions for different reasons. If you feel like you're alone and you're isolated, and she said how it just, you feel even more ashamed, and we often will attach a spiritual connotation to it, right? Oh, I'm a Christian, I should be joyful all times. I should be happy, you know, I should be blessed. And we have this idea that being a Christian is like this perfect life that we lead. But we live in a broken world. When I broke my thumb, I went and got help from a doctor. When I was broken inside, I went and got help from a therapist, from a counselor. And if we can take that step and start to bring that out more and more and make it okay, church has to be a place where it is okay to not be okay. It's a big issue, and we have not traditionally dealt well with the church. But in terms of the issues that we dealt with, I mentioned that I had some stuff that I had to walk through with a counselor. What are the most prevalent issues that you ladies will see in your counseling profession?
I think statistically the biggest one is anxiety. So about 1 out of 3 people will struggle with anxiety in their life. Anxiety is obviously very prevalent. Depression would be the second one. 1 in 4 women will experience clinical depression, and 1 in 6 men will experience clinical depression.
Can you define when you say clinical depression?
Yeah, so clinical depression is not having a bad day, although most of us will have a bad day. Clinical depression is a physical experience of feeling fatigued, feeling tired, unmotivated. It affects your sleeping, your eating, your interest in sex. Those are typically, you know, the things that if you go to a counselor, they'll sort of look at those kinds of things. But your ability to function is lessened we could say that. That number of 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 men, we think that that's probably more to do with men typically not reaching out. Our society, what we typically have messages for men to say, you know, suck it up, it's fine, you know, just do this, do that. Whereas for women, we tend to give more emotional support. So that difference in that statistic is probably due to reporting. And the third one is relationship issues. And then there's a whole gamut of, as I said, mental health issues and personality disorders and a whole bunch of things on the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Now, and Jessica, one of the things that Jessica does, she specializes with children. She does a lot of work with children. So when you work with children, is there a bit of a difference to that? Or, like, I saw you nodding when she said anxiety. So in terms of children, can you speak to that for a second?
In terms of children, we see many of the same issues as what Andrea was saying. So also anxiety is very high in children. I've worked with a lot of children that have social anxiety as well. So sometimes difficulty going to school and interacting with their peers. Depression, rates of depression are also very similar for children. And that's also a common theme that I see in my work.
Mm. And again, it's not one of those things where... I remember going to see a counselor when I was in Bible college and talking with him. And I went to see him the third time I went to see him. I said, how come I still have this problem? I've been here 3 times. And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, Josh, it's not 1, 2, 3 and free. He says, sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's a process. And we can have some of the confusion. We can have some of these issues because of things that we have done. We can suffer from mental health issues because of mistakes that we have made. But it's also very prevalent that people will suffer from mental health issues inside the church and out from things that have been done to them, right? And so when part of unpacking that is going back and finding out, you know, how has this started and how do we move forward? So now in the church, so to do it.
Yeah, just to jump on your point there, Josh, one of the things that we talk about in the statistics is the different causes. So there's an interaction between physiology, genetics, behavior, environmental. And so while some of the things might be from things that have happened to us, like traumas or experiences like that, part of it can be a genetic makeup or a biological, physiological component to it. And that's probably the one that in the church we've probably missed the most. We probably bring that in again a little bit later, but just wanted to mention that it's sort of an interaction between those different factors.
Mm-hmm. So we could have the world around us causing it, but also some people just have a natural disposition towards mental health issues. And that's, I have a natural disposition towards cheesecake, right? So I have to be very careful because I will overeat and I will do damage to my physical body. In the same way, people of a natural disposition towards mental health issues have to be a little bit more cautious with some of the things that they do. And so we see these things that in the church, okay? And we have not, you know, we've talked about how there's like a stigma attached to it and how there's a shame. And the church, I think, I can say this without too many ramifications, the church has been behind the curve in how we deal with this. In terms of the world around us, I think they're actually getting very more progressive. They're working harder. The church is catching up. How has the church generally dealt with mental health issues?
I think traditionally, so I've been a Christian since I was 7 years old, and I was the first person in my family to become a Christian. So sort of from there, it was my mom and then siblings and my dad eventually. And in my family, there were a number of issues around addiction, around depression, and a variety of other things, but those were two of the main ones. And I remember when I was a teenager, my mom going to the church for help around depression. And she was told by the pastor of the church at that time, and this is going back a number of decades, that it was due to sin in her life, and she should pray and sort of reflect and contemplate sort of the sin that had been not taken care of and not confessed, because in his mind, mental health and depression had to do with unconfessed sin in your life. And so I think a couple things. One is that we've tended to blame the person. We've tended to think that if you're a Christian who's really following God, there's an idea that then, therefore, you will be blessed. And blessed means you will have money and you won't have problems and your children will be amazing all the time. And, you know, you're, yeah. Okay,
what church
good.
Is that? Sign
I'm really
up.
Glad to hear that because I have two kids. They're older now. They're fine. But, so we get a little, we tend to, nothing can make you get more real than talking about your children. So that's one piece of it. And the other piece of it is, you know, I think, it comes from a good place. As Christians, we take our responsibility very strongly and how we live, and we want to live a good life, and we want to reflect the Christian worldview and lifestyle to other people in our community. And that can be a really strong, positive message. Where it goes awry for me is that thinking that we have to portray that our lives are really great, that we're doing well, to show other people that we're okay, that we're good Christians. But that's not the case. Just like I tell my clients, who are 19 and 20 and 22 who are coming in for marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling, that marriage is not an alternate reality that you suddenly step into marriage and everything is great, right? We have a lot of married people here. I know that it's utopian. Marriage is a utopian experience for all of us Christian. Okay, we'll address that in a minute.
Sorry, I'm about to sneeze and I'm trying not to blow out the microphone.
Yeah, exactly. So in the same way that marriage is not like an alternative reality, being a Christian has not supplant us into like an alternative reality. We still have to live in a fallen world. We still need to deal with the stressors and the complexity of our world. We still need to deal with the pressures of society and our kids with social media and all of the things that we have to deal with, suicides and self-harm and eating addictions and drugs that can kill you the first time you take them. You know, these are things that are really happening. And because we're Christian doesn't mean that all of a sudden, you know, we have, what's the thing in, there's a show on TV called Survivor. And they get a...
Immunity,
thank you. Immunity idol or something. That doesn't sound very Christian at all. So I'm sorry I brought that up now that I think of it, but...
Andrew, the tribe has spoken.
Yeah. I'm going to get kicked out before I even finish.
No, not at all. So, and so touching on what we've often done is we are a whole package. That's the whole idea of starting 2018 with Christ, a new year, a new you, is we're a complete package. But what often in the church, when we have dealt with issues, is we have spiritualized every single issue. I had a friend who was suffering from depression, and they went to their doctor and found out they just needed a bit of medicine because they had a chemical imbalance, and then they took the medicine for a while, then they were fine. That's not a spiritual problem. That is a physical problem. It can get worked out in a spiritual way because I believe that God can heal miraculously, but he also can heal through man and through medicine, right? God heals through miracle, through man, through medicine. But what we have done is we've only put mental health, I think, for years in the church in the realm of the spiritual. It is unconfessed sin in your life. It is demonic oppression. And I believe that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot be possessed, but you can be oppressed by the demonic, because we are in a world where the demons and where the devil wants to kill, to steal, and destroy. But when we have taken it to the point where we don't look at the physical realm as well, then we're missing the whole person that God created us to be. Jessica, do you have anything on how the church has dealt with this or how it's starting to deal with it? Hopefully we're doing better.
Yeah, I think that we're moving in the right direction for sure. Like Andrea, I also grew up in the church, and growing up for me, mental health and mental illness is not something that we talked about as a church. And if we did, it was kind of put in a box. So either you had very, very bad mental illness where you didn't go out, you kind of just stayed in your house, or you didn't have it at all. So I think we didn't see it as a spectrum as, you know, someone who's sitting in our congregation could be having really bad anxiety or depression. We only seen it as these people who, you know, they didn't go out. So I think for us, just sharing stories of people who, have anxiety, who have depression, like how you're sharing your story today, I think that can be really helpful and really good for the church moving forward to see that it is normal, it happens in the church just like it happens in society, and that we can get professional help. Like you talked about your hand, mm-hmm. you're not just going to look at your hand and pray for your hand and hope that, oh, eventually my hand is going to fix itself.
Yeah.
You're going to seek help from a doctor who's...
It didn't.
And it wouldn't, yeah. Or this morning I was reminded, I turned on my car and my check engine light's on, and I've been really praying it would fix itself, but apparently that's not the case.
Well, let me know how that goes.
Yeah, it's not working for me too well.
Yeah.
So I'll probably have to take it to a professional because I have no idea how to fix my own car.
Yeah.
So I think it's similar to that.
there's a great analogy.
Yeah, just as I can't fix my own car, and I need to take it to someone who has years of experience and who knows what they're doing, and they can fix my car in a way that's going to work, I hope. And it's similar, I think, for mental health issues in the church.
Yes, and if you see her out standing on the side of the road on the way home, please pick her up and drop her. So one of the things that we have, one of the ways that we have gotten better, I mentioned I don't have an MDiv in counseling. I think part of what was recognized a number of years ago in the Christian education system is that we do have to be aware of this. You know, Andrea does have her MDiv. Where did you get your MDiv?
At Tyndale.
She got her MDiv at Tyndale University College and Seminary. So she got her MDiv from there. She does have an MDiv. They both have other training in multiple different facets of mental health that'll be very helpful, right? And so in that sense, the church, I think, has recognized it, but it still kind of has that stigma attached to it. And one of the things, when we make this, people will try and make this a spiritual issue. And then I've actually had people say, well, I don't ever see issues of mental health in the scriptures. Where is mental health mentioned in the Bible? And that is kind of, it's called a straw man argument. Because there's a lot of things that aren't mentioned in the Bible that happen in the world where is Jesus driving in a car mentioned in the Bible? Well, Jesus didn't drive a car. Why do we drive cars? Well, it did say the apostles were all in one accord, but... Sorry, a little Honda joke there. But there's a lot of things in Scripture that aren't... A lot of things that we experience and encounter in the world today that aren't explicitly mentioned in Scripture. But if we're going to do an honest read of the Scriptures... We're going to see issues of mental health. Where are some issues of mental health that we see in the Bible?
One of my favorite books of the Bible is the book of Ruth. And one of the things I like about it is it's really real. And I think we see some mental health in terms of transition, in terms of loss, with Naomi. If you'll remember the story of Ruth, Ruth was a Moabite. And so Naomi and her family moved from Bethlehem, which is a Christian Mecca, in the biblical times, and they moved to Moab because there was a famine. And in Moab, Naomi's husband dies and her two sons die. And this happened to a strong Christian family. And as a result, Naomi decided to go back to Bethlehem to be closer to her family and community. And her one daughter-in-law, Ruth, went with her. And there's a whole story of loyalty, and we won't get into the whole story of Ruth, but when she goes back to her family, she tells her family and friends, call me Mara, and that means bitter, because my life has become bitter. And what I like about that is it's just really real. She says, you know, my life is terrible. She doesn't say, oh, you know, these terrible things have happened, but I'm trusting God and I'm great. And no, she says, call me Mara. Hebrew for bitter. Call me bitter. My life is bitter. She's really real about it. And in that, God meets that family. And of course, it's a really cool story of how God brings lightness out of darkness and hope out of hopelessness in that passage where Ruth, through a biblical provision that God has made called Kinsman Redeemer. Some of you may know what that is. We won't don't necessarily need to get into what that actually is, but it's a provision that God made for women who were widows and destitute because they didn't work at the time. They were provided through their husband. They couldn't own land, right? Everything was through their husband. So it was a way that God provided for women who would be in a situation where they were in need. So she goes through the process of loss. She talks to her community. She uses wisdom and she trusts God. And in the end, God uses something that he's already put in place to bring her through that period. But God didn't take that loss away. So that's one place we see it. We see it a lot in the Psalms. We see what would be, I think, described or assessed as clinical depression in the Psalms with David, and a number of things that we see in the Bible when you can look at the things that they experience and see them as mental health issues. The cool thing is that in the midst of those issues, God meets them and again brings light out of darkness and forgiveness and restoration and redemption and the themes that salvation, you know, the themes that are so important to us as Christians in the midst of those difficult times and in the midst of those experiences of loss, transition, mental health issues, God is there to meet them and brings them through them sometimes through something that he's already put in place.
Yeah, Psalm 51, she mentioned Psalm, David's Psalms. You know, against thee only have I sinned. My sin is always before me. You know, hide your face from my sins, blot out my iniquities, create in me a clean heart. He comes and he finds redemption through the feelings of guilt and shame that he is carrying. This is Psalm 51, which he wrote after he was caught in the adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. And he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah killed. He had him he had him put in a position in a battle where he was going to put him at the fiercest fighting, then withdraw, so he was killed. So then he is confronted by the prophet who comes and tells him, listen, you've really dropped the ball here. And he recognizes what he has done and his sin is weighing on him. And then he asks God, he comes and he finds healing through what God does. Do you have a scripture where you see, Jessica, or someplace in scripture where you see someone dealing with issues of mental health?
I think throughout the whole scripture, as Andrea was saying, like we see these issues of even just raw emotion and mental health and just the healing that it can come. Like we see even Jesus, he wept. I'm not saying there's mental illness there, but he shows this raw emotion and that there's healing in David and the Psalms throughout Esther. I have always enjoyed that story and just seeing her growth and development and healing there. And I just think that these themes are all throughout the Bible, and Jesus came as a healer, and I think that hope is there for us.
Right now, we have grade 7 and 8 students, or it's 5 or 6 or 7 and 8, who are looking at the whole story of Job and dealing, you know, we're talking about dealing with loss. Job lost everything, all his kids, all his property, all his camels, all his livestock, everything. The only thing he didn't lose was his wife, and his wife walked up to him and said, why don't you curse God and die? And I'm sure he was thinking, God, one more? You know? But he held on to, through the midst of his brokenness, the wonderful story of Job is how he held on to, in the midst of his brokenness, he held on to God. He held on to the offering, to the person of who God was and the character of who God was and how he refused. His good friends came and told him, you have unrepentant sin in your life. His good friends came and they all told him different things about why he was going through hell. And in the midst of it, he would not let go of chasing after God. So we see that this is a spiritual... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I think that's a really important point, and to what we were talking about before, Josh, that when something like that happens, that we don't blame the person, because that's Job's friends blamed him. Mm-hmm. And when we're going through difficult times or we're going through mental health issues, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with us or God has turned his back on us. It means that we're like everyone else and we go through trials and tribulations and struggles, and in the midst of that, God can meet us there.
So now that we have understood that this is a holistic issue, this is part of who we are, God calls us to have a renewed mind. We're going to look at that in a moment, but I have one more question for you. How do we deal, moving ahead, how do we continue to deal with issues of mental health?
I think one of the ways that we've done with, we mentioned five-star relationships, we've got a team that's put together that has a whole variety of different strengths of behavior modification, behavior training, or consultant. And we also have things around trauma, anxiety, loss, depression, a number of ways, some of you may have heard of cognitive behavioral therapy, EMDR, EFT, emotional focus therapy for couples. And so I think as we move ahead, what I would like to see in our Christian communities is to be able to talk about it more and be real with one another about our challenges and our struggles, and to be able to provide really sound counseling that is... So my training, I have my Master of Divinity, which is a theological degree. I also have master's equivalent of in counseling and background in psychology. And I've sort of put those together. And I think that's really something important that we need in our Christian communities is how do we marry those together and be able to help each other in specific ways. So we have groups, we have individual counseling, we have premarriage counseling, we have marriage counseling, we have relationship counseling, we have some of our staff specialize in children, adolescents, you know, a whole variety of things. And I think as we move forward, that's what I would like to see. I'd like to have more conversation, just like Let's Talk with Belle. I'd like that in our Christian communities, and to have people who are trained professionals to be able to manage some of the things that community and lay people, you know, aren't trained to deal with. And that's one of the things I was talking to Josh about, that in my experience, a lot of times faith communities look to their pastor for that, and they don't necessarily have the training, nor do they have really the time. And so that's, I think, how we move forward is by providing that in our communities and knowing that that help is close by.
We have a very good relationship with Andrea, and she's been very helpful for years. You know, Shannon does some of our counseling. She works with a lot of people in different issues, and she also referred out to Andrea. And so we have an awareness here, and we have a partnership with Five Star and with the staff here that we have an opportunity to reach out and to help provide that for people. As we move ahead?
Yeah, for sure. I agree with everything that Andrea said. And I think that just the more we can talk about mental health issues, the way we're talking about it today, and even in your homes with your families, just making that a regular check-in, a regular part of your conversation, I think will be really helpful for people just to know that they're not alone and that there is help and you don't have to fix yourself. There's people out there that can help you, and we want to help you. We're here for that. And yeah, so I just think the more conversations we can have, the more people can share their experiences. I think that's just going to really open a good dialogue in the church.
Ladies and gentlemen, can you help me thank our guests this morning? When we talked about this, I wasn't sure how long we were going to go. I wasn't sure how much time I would have at the end, but I didn't want to lose the opportunity to hear from some people who are really boots on the ground who are doing this. So when we looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2, don't worry about the slides. I'll just talk really quickly as we finish up today. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says that we are to be living sacrifices. And so that's like the part that we talked about last week, putting the whole person on the altar as a living sacrifice. Our spiritual, our mental, our physical, our emotional, all together on the altar. And the unique thing about being a sacrifice is it doesn't get to choose what God does with it. We are to be that living sacrifice. And then Paul goes on. So that's kind of the physical part we talked a little bit, putting ourselves on the altar. We heard last night from a couple of guys with Hockey Ministries International who are living sacrifices and are allowing God to use them in incredible ways to reach out to our hockey players in the community. Right? They're being living sacrifices and allowing God to use them and how he has gifted them and how he has wired them. And then he goes on and Paul talks, he says, do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world. So what does it look like to be conformed? It's very easy for us to be the same. It's very easy for us to be the same as those around us. But the patterns of this world are designed to bring confusion. If you read it in the King James, it says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. The patterns of this world are set by those that we are in contention with, those that we are fighting against. The world has its own ideas, and it's all about getting what I want. And the more that I conform to the pattern of this world, the farther I go away from Christ, and the more confused I become. And that's where this starts to become a spiritual issue as well, because ultimately your healing is found in Jesus Christ. So if we are conforming to the patterns of this world, then we are missing what God has for us. And Paul warns us, he says, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but instead be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We've learned to teach ourselves lies. Has anybody here ever thought something negative about themselves? You know, I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy. You know, how can God forgive me? We've learned to tell ourselves lies. So don't believe everything you think. Instead, start to grasp onto truth. When there's an issue going on and you're struggling, you're like, I'm not worthy. Yes, I am worthy because God made me. When I get afraid that I'm going to let people down, I have to go back to my favorite verse, which is Joshua 1:9 says, don't be afraid. And I have to grasp onto that truth because that's what God gives us. And in that, I get away from the confusion, from some of the brokenness that I've experienced that wants me to wander away from Christ, and the confusion that wants to take me from him, I get to hold on to and grab onto Christ. And he says, transformed by the renewal of your mind. So how does that transformation occur? How does that transformation occur for us? By focusing on what God has. And he says this. He says, then you will be able to test and discern what God's will is. We are transformed when we start to follow after what Jesus has for us. So when I have these negative thoughts, when I have the issues that want to take me away from Christ, I have to test those. Is this true? Is this what God has said? I have to discern whether or not this is what he has for me. And oftentimes, a big part of counseling is helping people hear the truth, helping people reframe things, helping people understand the brokenness that has happened and then move through it. So I have to test and discern what God's will is, because God's will for us, if I had a quarter for every time someone asked me, what is God's will for my life? I would have more than one quarter, let me tell you. What is God's will for your life? God's will for your life is to be free. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, that you might have life and have it abundantly. To have an abundant, free life where you are not tied down with the burdens of mental illness, where you're not, you know, where you can be the person God calls you to be. Even if you have it, you can still be free and enjoy life, to move ahead, to become stronger, to be better, to be set free from the things that we have carried for so long, the burdens that we have borne, to enjoy him, to enjoy the life he has given us, to laugh, to talk, to get married, to not get married, to have children, to not have children, to travel, to stay home. God's will for us is to enjoy him and the life he has given us. It says this, test and discern what God's will is, and it says this, God's will, good, acceptable, and perfect. What is God's will? God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And this is what sets us free, living out that life that he has for us. I could invite Jessica and Andrea back, and we could probably do this for the next 6 to 8 weeks and still barely scratch the surface when it comes to the issues of mental health within the church. So today we wanted to give you a bit of an overview. We wanted to give you just some of the information about what's available. And we wanted to try to help break the stigma that exists around mental health within the church. God created us to be complete beings. And if we ignore one aspect of it, it's like having a table with four legs and you rip one table leg out, what's gonna happen to the table? It's gonna fall down. If we ignore this whole mental aspect of how God created us, we're not embracing the whole person God called us to be. I hope today, it's our prayer today, that you receive the freedom to experience and to move through and maybe to reach out and get help if you're struggling. God doesn't want you to sit there struggling. Don't let the shame, keep you down. Because Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for people who are gifted, for Shannon and for Jessica and for Andrea, people who are gifted in helping folks walk through this, walk through some of these issues. Thank you for people who have taken the time to love and to care for others. I know Marilyn, for years, would talk with people who just needed to be loved and you know, God, just to walk with them through life, and how Kathy Williams would sit and do biblical counseling with folks and just share life. And Father, it's okay for us not to be okay here because we're part of a family. And so, God, as we move ahead, help us, Father, to love and to serve the whole community and the whole person within that community, heart, mind, soul, and body, that we can share the wonders of your love, and that one day, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that you are Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In your name we pray. Amen.